Next on BYUSN, game night for BYU men's basketball in Tucson to face number 4 Arizona. Key injuries on both sides. So what are our expectations for tonight's game? How many points do A.J. DeBonta and Rob Wright III need to score? How many threes do the Cougars need to make? We'll break down winning numbers for BYU in order to pull an upset.
ESPN's Jay Billis is on the call for the Cougars and Wildcats. What does he expect to be different from the first meeting? And how does BYU replace Richie Saunders' production? And we react to the best sound from head coach Kevin Young's press conference yesterday. Why he's confident guys will step up and why he said he woke up motivated.
Stack days, and hopefully wins. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, February 18th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who absolutely cares about opposing school student sections, Jerem Jordan.
Did you just raise your voice at me? We can all hear it. We're live on TV.
Did
you? I think you did. I want to reward you for the worst intro I've ever heard. No, I'm just kidding. Mick Cronin of UCLA last night. This guy's been on one, mainly because they've lost by 20-plus the last couple of games. But yeah. I'm not sure I've heard something like this after a game.
I could give a rat about the other team's student section.
I just meant the overall, the way that you...
I would like to give you a kudos for the worst question I've ever been asked.
Did you like the preparation of the
You really think I care about the other
No,
team
I don't mean I don't think you care about the other
Are you team. Raising your voice at me?
No, I'm just
Yeah you are. Yeah you are. Come on, dude.
No reason.
Come on, dude. Yes you were. Everybody's standing here listening to you. Everybody, this is on camera, they can hear you. I answered the question. I could give a rat about the other team's student section. I coach UCLA, I don't care about Michigan State students. I mean, who cares?
What in the world is that reporter supposed to do?
What a fun guy. I want to play for him.
Makes BYU's loss in the NCAA tournament 2021 sting that much more. We lost to that guy.
Oh, yeah. I had forgotten.
Are you raising your voice at me?
We all heard it. He literally didn't raise his voice. Like, that didn't happen. We can all...
Animated a little bit, sure. But come on, man. And it was a... He was asking about a chant from Michigan State's fans at a former Michigan State player who's now playing for UCLA.
One of my favorite iterations of this is when Mark Pope was very upset at the refs at Utah a few years ago. And instead of that, he gave a very sarcastic comment where he said, "What an incredibly brave crew tonight." Brave and courageous crew, I think was the line. That was sarcasm in that case.
Oh, man. I know you're upset you just lost.
If he had said, like, "Man, wasn't that great?" That'd be more funny, right? Instead, he's making national headlines with that.
Also, the worst question he's ever been asked.
For the worst question.
Come on.
The worst intro ever, Spencer.
Got to get that reporter on the show.
I don't think so. I don't think we care about it.
On that note, rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
86-83, Arizona is a winner. AJ gets right to the rim for the two-hand hammer.
Arizona, they may be down some players. Maybe that's something that can even the playing field. They're going to be refocused.
He opened for three straight away. Got it again.
Obviously, they're having a great year. It'll be a good chance for us to try to go get a huge win on the road.
No, opportunity knocks once again. Number 23 BYU in Tucson to take on number 4 Arizona. The Cougars are an 11.5 point underdog. KenPom gives BYU just a 14% chance to win tonight's game.
Wolf.
And that is not really including the fact that Richie Saunders is unavailable for BYU, at least in that Ken Pomeroy metric. Arizona, however, is without their star freshman big man, Koa Pete, and Dwayne Aristote, another critical rotation player for the Wildcats. So, Jerem, what's the more impactful loss? Richie Saunders for BYU or no Koa Pete, no Aristote for Arizona?
I mean, if you're just looking at points, Aristote, which needs to be said like that, I think, and Koa Pete average 18.5 combined a game. Koa Pete, like Richie Saunders, you know, second leading scorer for the squad. You know, Aristote is basically a guy that is a bench guy that will make like a three every other game. He's not like a big contributor that way, but he was in the kind of eight-man rotation for Arizona. So, yeah, he's sick. Cole Pete's injured. Richie Saunders out for the year, of course, but it has to be Richie. In non-shocking news, the answer is Richie Saunders. Mr. BYU, heart and soul of the team. His impact was way bigger than 18 a game.
Yes.
Rebounding at a super high level, especially recently. He was hitting the offensive glass a lot. So, yeah, it's tough. But both teams without notable names in the game. Not TBD on kind of Pete. He'll be reevaluated next week. But, yeah, no Richie for the rest of the season. It's devastating for BYU. We'll talk to ESPN's Jay Billis about that coming up and how they recreate some points there without him. But it is King Richie.
You know, I love cars, and losing Richie for me is like taking the most prime fuel and prime oil that you can put in an automobile and having to exchange it for something that is a clear downgrade. Like, how do you quantify everything that Richie Saunders is for BYU basketball? He does so many things that will never touch a stat sheet, but the leadership factor, just how BYU and their players feel when he is involved in the game. Like, how do you quantify something like that?
1.21 gigawatts.
He goes on the floor and immediately everybody on the team and on the staff and in the fan base and administration feels better. Because why? Richie's on the floor. So what is that worth? Man, hard to put a price tag on that, but
millions of dollars.
Yes, it's like removing the premium fuel and premium oil from your high-performance vehicle.
You don't have any fuel or oil in your car. I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Well, in F1 and in NASCAR and in any race car, this is what we're dealing
with. I was likening unto us.
For sure. Yeah. But this it's hard to explain like what that's going to mean until right. you race the car again and see what it is doing without the premium materials, and now you have some alternative options. Not saying that like the car can't perform at times at a high level, but it's going to be hard to sustain consistently playing your best basketball when you don't have Richie Saunders on the floor.
Well, if Brad Pitt's just flying into everybody, then maybe. with those injuries in mind, what kind of chance do you give the Cougars to pull the upset in Tucson? Because it doesn't feel like a lot of people think BYU can win tonight.
I probably believe more than most. And, I mean, Ken Pomeroy says 14% chance. And I had one friend say to me last night, that's probably higher than BYU should be given a chance to win this game. Higher than 14%? I don't think we're giving enough credit to Kevin Young and the staff and what they can and are trying to do to rally the troops and have this be a galvanizing moment. And when you consider that there is no Koa Pete and no Aristode. Now you put more on Braden Burries and Jaden Bradley. And I can guarantee you one thing. BYU is going to defend those two, or at least try and defend those two, differently than the first go-around in Provo. There will be something thrown into the mix that is totally different to try and at least get them a little bit more off balance, because those guys could not be stopped, especially early in the game when they were playing at the Marriott Center. So I'd probably say, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm somewhere between a 2 and a 3. And you might think, well, that's not very high. You play the game 10 times, I'm telling you, BYU could probably win 2 or 3 times.
Is it a series or is it a one game?
Tonight? That's the beauty of it, is it's one only one game. I love that about sports, the true reality television. You got one opportunity to go and do this. Yes, Arizona is the clear favorite, but it's not a 10-game series. It's one game. What if BYU makes 10 to 12 three-pointers again? What if Arizona doesn't shoot the ball well? What if BYU is able to defend them better because this is the second go-around and they don't have Koa Pete? Not saying Arizona isn't capable of winning a game on their home floor, because they are loaded. They have depth. Their roster's really good, but they're down two rotational players, and they have now six guys that play regular minutes available for the game. What if somebody gets in foul trouble? There are so many different things that could happen based on the personnel available. So I'm probably giving BYU a better chance than most. Scale of 1 to 10, somewhere between a 2 and a 3. But line it up and go. See if the shots fall. Every game has its own identity and personality. Kevin Young is a big proponent of that. I am too. The ball it bounces weird.
No, every game's the same. What are you talking about?
It is a super fickle game, and that's what makes this so intriguing. How do you view it?
Does BYU still have A.J. DeBonta?
Yeah!
Does BYU still have Rob Wright III, who has never played better in his life than the last two games?
He's averaging 34 and a half points per game in the last two.
BYU has star power, baby. Do they have a rallying cry for Richie now? Do they have reference points from last game? I'm just going to ask questions. Do we believe A.J. DeBonta will go 6 for 24 again? Do you believe Rob Wright III will only score 7 points tonight? If so, then, yeah, BYU would be in trouble. But no, they have all of those opportunities to excel better. A.J. scored 24, but he didn't play well against Arizona the first time.
No doubt.
Because Arizona played good defense. He missed some shots he normally makes. Rob Wright scored 7 points. You think Rob's scoring less than 20 tonight? Rob's getting 20-plus. Take care of the basketball. Continue to make threes. Don't dig a hole. Arizona, by the way, they're reeling too. They've lost 2 in a row. They finally lost. They had a tough week. Granted, those were tough games against Kansas and Texas Tech. Hey, they've got some injuries, a couple losses. You know, it's tough without Richie, but why not? And if Tony Padilla's reffing the game, maybe he's got a shot.
Tony.
Last time, great call. Richie Saunders gets to the line down one with like a second left, and BYU wins.
I've never seen a more correct call.
remember in Kansas City, it was New Jersey. We're in the stands, and we hear Tony Padilla runs out, and then we hear some Arizona fans. They were playing Duke after BYU. And we heard, "We remember, Tony," in reference to BYU Arizona. Arizona's likely winning this game. Like, come on.
Yeah, odds are odds.
But what if AJ and Rob play really well and the supporting cast is decent? You don't have to play perfect. You just have to play better than those guys tonight.
AJ and Rob both played their worst game of the season in the same game against Arizona. On their home floor.
And perhaps because Arizona's awesome on defense. This is number 3 KenPom defensive efficiency. Let's give them a little bit of credit for that.
No doubt.
But those reference points, you don't think Kevin Young's going, okay, here's our counter to that tonight based on that first matchup and based on what Texas Tech and Kansas did against Arizona.
BYU and their big two, AJ and Rob, that are available tonight, combined for 9 of 40 shooting against Arizona. 9 of 40, 2 of 13 from 3.
And BYU lost by 3. Kennard Davis making 5 threes in the second half.
He had his breakout game after a long slump.
Wild. Also, BYU's defense the past couple weeks has been horrendous. They've got to play way better. But to say that BYU's like no chance tonight would be completely naive, even without Richie. Yet, I don't see a middle ground between the following. I feel like BYU either loses by 20-plus or they win the game.
There's nothing.
I don't feel like there's a lot of
extremes.
Like, and it was BYU losing by 12.
A lot of people feel this way about the remainder of the regular season for BYU, that it's either going to be incredibly galvanizing and like this rally cry and BYU,
or they really
play better, or they just fall off a cliff.
The cliff could happen without Richie, but you have AJ and Rob and a team that wants to win in the tourney. Like, I don't see this group doing that. I would be very surprised.
Our question of the day, on a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of chance are you giving BYU to upset number 4 Arizona tonight? At Brent Kimball BYU with the first tweet, Jerem.
7. Mu Davis breakout game. I have a feeling he will feel more comfortable as the third option.
7?
7.
7 out of 10?
High. Like, okay. I'm like you. I'm like, no, it's low chance, but it could happen. Like, it's not unreasonable to think BYU could.
I think it's better than 14% that we're talking about from Ken Pomeroy. 14%?
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm like a 3-ish.
At 11, C. Coleman says a 2. Unless Davis, Maruss, Kostic, and Boskovic unleash their inner Richie Saunders and get hot from 3, then it's a 9.5. Go Cougs. What can those 4 names do and combine to produce for BYU tonight? The shots will be there. But opportunities are there because Richie's not able to take them.
Right. And by the way, my guess, because of how big Arizona is that Boop or Boskovic will start in place of Richie.
BYU,
that it won't be Kostic or Maruss.
Yes. Listen, BYU,
because of Arizona's personnel,
has plenty of length, athleticism. This is a big BYU team.
Even without Kobe.
I mean, you start Cabe Akeda and Hadeem Boop, A.J. DeBonta, Kennard Davis.
Hopefully Cabe's hand gets better.
Ton of length. Yeah. So BYU does have that option. Boskovic is, 6'10".
Yeah. Knocked down a 3.
Plenty
down.
Of size.
BYU
plenty
forever.
Of ability. Okay.
BYU forever, 88. I give them a solid 6. Every time this team gets desperate and senses the urgency, they fight like a cornered alley cat. I expect our guys to have a lot of fight in them tonight, with at least one surprise key contributor. Looking at you, Moo. Yeah, maybe this is the Moo wake-up call. Arizona was, outside of the second half against Arizona, he's been absolutely terrible from three. I'm hoping that he continues what he started against Arizona in Provo.
And can AJ DeBonta and Rob Wright not produce a game like they did against? It's hard for me to believe that they would play or shoot the ball worse than they did the first go around against Arizona.
And AJ's on a heater right now, and Rob's never played better. So you ride that momentum.
Come on. Okay.
Two notable case studies for BYU's game tonight. As mentioned, BYU already played Arizona in Provo, lost by three, while Texas Tech just won in Tucson Saturday by three in overtime. Let's take a look at a few key numbers from those games and discuss what's the winning number for BYU. Let's start with the production from BYU's Big Two. So AJ and Rob had their worst performances, as we just mentioned, 31 points on 9 of 40. JT Topp and Christian Anderson, by the way, combined for 50 on Saturday for Texas Tech. By the way, best wishes to JT Topp, who appeared to perhaps have a serious injury last night, hoping he's okay. What is the winning number in total points scored between Rob and AJ for BYU?
They might have to go for 50 like Toppin and Anderson did against Arizona.
Would 50 be enough?
I think 50 is enough.
You think so?
I think 50 is enough.
How many is BYU scoring?
Let's say AJ goes for 28 or 26 and Rob Wright delivers 24 or 22.
How many is BYU scoring? 70 plus?
50 against that defense and BYU scoring mid to high 70s.
So you're saying 20 to 25 points from everybody else?
Yes. Has to be. I mean, again, there will be way more shots available. Richie Saunders isn't taking them. Somebody's going to take them. Rob and AJ will take more of them, but I don't think they can take all of them because Arizona's not going to let them take all of them.
I think it's more likely that AJ and Rob score more than the rest of the team, especially the way they're playing. So I actually go a little higher. I go like 55.
55 is a huge number against Arizona.
I know. No, I feel you. Oh. But who's going to score? Who else is going to score?
If they scored 50, I think that BYU's got a shot.
I mean, the rest of the team's not doing much right now.
They were playing largely with Richie Saunders in the lineup still. So, what are they without Richie?
That's the question. BYU needs 15 to 25 from everybody else. So, Paging, Kennard, and Kama. Somebody off the bench. Somebody. Let's go, man.
Okay, so you say 55. I'm plenty good of a 50. Just to put BYU in position to beat a team that's playing without Coopete.
How many points does BYU need tonight to win? I would guess 75.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the next one. What's the winning number for BYU in total points, as we were kind of alluding to?
Ooh. And specifically...
Scored by Arizona.
What do they hold Arizona to?
Yeah.
To me, this feels like first to 76 wins the game. You know, you get to the upper part of the 70s.
You say.
Yeah. Yeah. First to 76 wins the game in regulation. This game could go to overtime as well.
In Arizona's two losses, they scored 78 and 75. So I go with 74. If they're 74 less. And think about it. BYU gave up 86 at home. BYU scored 83. They had a furious kind of final minute there. So I will say 74. And Eric Haslam is Haslametrics on Twitter. BYU dead last in defensive momentum metric right now, which is they've underperformed versus their season norm on defense in 8 straight games. Last overperforming performance on defense, January 14th against TCU. The last month, BYU's been terrible on defense. They have got to play way better tonight.
So Texas Tech held Braden Burries and Jaden Bradley to 27 combined points in Texas Tech's win over the Wildcats at McHale on Saturday. Only 27. I don't know if BYU can do that because BYU is not as defensively sound as Texas Tech, as we have clearly discussed over the past few weeks. But can you limit them to, let's say, 34 combined? Because if BYU's Big Two is going for close to 50, and you can hold Burries and Bradley to around 34.
Just keep them on their average, which would be 29.3.
Okay.
Sub 30? Too much to ask? 35?
That's why I said 34.
35?
34.
Can BYU's Big Two outscore, 33, deal.
Outscore their Big Two by 16 points? Then I think you got a shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Krivas is a beast, too. He's massive. Kaba's hand's not good. That's a tough matchup. And then Tobe Awaka is the number one offensive rebound percentage guy in the country, by the way. More on rebounds in a moment.
BYU was plus 9 in offensive rebounding against Arizona in the game in Provo, which is why the Cougars even had a shot late in the game. Okay. Next question, and we set it up with this. BYU made 13 three-pointers in their first meeting against Arizona in Provo, 5 from Kennard Davis that we referenced earlier. Texas Tech made 11 threes in their win over the Wildcats on Saturday on the road. So what's the winning number in made three-point field goals for BYU?
Feels like 10-plus needs to happen.
I don't see any way that BYU wins this game if they can't find their mark from the three-point line and others deliver. This is where BYU's bench can make the biggest impact. There will be open shots for Alexi Kostic and Mihailo Boskovic and Tyler Maruss and Kennard Davis. There will be open threes. Like, bank on it. I think Arizona is going to say, you guys beat us. Beat us. Yeah. We dare you to beat us.
And Kevin Young, we'll play some sound coming up from him, but I thought he had an interesting comment about Rob Wright III saying, I can't just have him be a playmaker. He's got to be a play finisher. So make some of those shots around the rim.
I think BYU's got to be at least plus 5 or 6 in the three-point field goal category because Arizona doesn't shoot a ton.
They were plus 9 in the first matchup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like they have to be
a significant
advantage, like plus 5 or 6 made three-point field goals.
Okay, first meeting in Provo, BYU, -2 in rebounding margin despite being plus 9 on O-boards. Texas Tech, -2 rebounds in their win Saturday. What's the winning number for BYU in rebounding margin?
Well, BYU can't be significantly minus in the offensive rebounding category with a guy like Toby Awaka in play.
Awaka.
Because it's
just right there.
It just feels like, tell me that there isn't a more devastating play when you're the road team and you play great defense. Yeah. It's late in the shot clock. You force him into a bad shot. And then a guy like Toby Awaka gets the offensive rebound, kicks it out to Braden Burries. Bang, there's a three. And ugh. Like, those are the worst type of plays. Crowd goes nuts because they get second chance points off of a three. So can BYU stay close in the offensive rebounding margin? Overall rebounding, like, just be close again. If it's within 2 or 3, fine. But that offensive rebounding category, like, I feel like BYU, if they lose that specific category, that's going to be real trouble for BYU.
In league play only, Arizona doubles anyone else in rebounding margin in the league.
That is amazing.
They're 10.3 for the season, 12.6. That's third in the country. I think 1-plus would be a win. In fact, -2 might be a win.
Yes. Texas Tech was -2.
Like, it's hard, man. It's hard.
Well, that takes us to, a bugaboo for BYU in the first go around, especially in the first half. BYU turned it over 12 times. Which led to 15 points off turnovers for Arizona.
I mean,
in the first half, which allowed Arizona to build a quick double-digit lead.
12 is not a massive number, though. I mean,
no.
It's fine.
But again,
especially against a top five defense?
I mean, the majority of those were in the first half. And so Kevin Young, in his postgame after Arizona-BYU part one, said, man, we just made so many stupid turnovers, I believe was the phrase. So many critical turnovers.
Fewer stupid turnovers. Not all turnovers are stupid, I guess.
What's the winning number for BYU in turnovers and points off turnovers?
I'd probably be just, somewhere near even. Like, try and just make that a leveling thing. Like, okay, wash. Because then if you can win in threes and maybe win and try and get to the free throw line, Arizona goes to the stripe a lot. But if AJ can get to the line a lot, now you got a chance. So I'm hoping it's even-ish.
Texas Tech had only 8 turnovers in their win against Arizona. Can BYU be single digits somewhere, like 10 or fewer? If BYU turns them over on the road more than 10 times, they need every possession against an incredibly strong defensive team. I mean, they're so efficient on defense. They just clean the glass. I mean, it's one shot and done more often than not. So if you give them free possessions with turnovers and don't get a shot.
We believe in charity here.
Come on.
All the food drives and everything. No charity on the glass, okay? The charity faileth on the glass, okay? It never faileth. Well, don't give it tonight, okay? Let's be kind. Let's compete. But I mean, rebound that basketball.
Be within 2 turnovers of whatever Arizona does.
Again, you don't have to play perfect. You just have to be better than them tonight.
On the given night.
Yes, yes.
And if BYU can produce 1 point, at least 1.2 or 1.4 points per turnover given to them by Arizona, that's a pretty good number typically. Like, if you can get at least 1 point per turnover, that's a good metric for a lot of basketball teams.
Number 23.
Hey.
Men's Hoops taking on Arizona tonight in Tucson. Big game. Number 4, number 23. Let's go. Pre-game 8 Eastern on BYU Radio. Game tips at 9 Eastern on ESPN and BYU Radio.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Absolutely, we're telling you there's a chance.
Come on, boys.
ESPN's Jay Billis joins us next. He's on the call for tonight's game in Tucson. What does he think the winning formula is for BYU tonight? Stay with us.
DeMonza is incredibly talented, but when he gives it up, he's also got Robert Wright III who can really score.
AJ and Rob can do a little bit more. Opportunity knocks for Moo Davis. The opportunity is huge for the other guys.
Against number four, Arizona.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And tonight, BYU and Arizona meet for part two of the regular season in men's basketball. ESPN's Jay Billis is on the call. And earlier this morning, he joined us on BYUSN to discuss the matchup, what BYU's winning formula looks like, and how in the world BYU replaces the void that Richie Saunders leaves behind. Jay, what has you most excited to call tonight's BYU-Arizona game at the McHale Center in Tucson?
Well, it's one of the best venues in college basketball, and then two really outstanding teams. Now, both are facing pretty interesting challenges. BYU, in a heartbreaking fashion, lost Richie Saunders for the year, and that's certainly going to affect outcomes going forward. And then for Arizona, they've got two rotation players out. I mean, Koa Pete, their second leading scorer, is injured. And then Dwayne Aristode, one of their rotation guys, is injured. So they're down. He's ill. He's got an illness that's going to keep him from playing. So they're down to basically six rotation guys, and they're going to have to go to their deep bench to steal some minutes here and there.
Where do you see BYU going to replace the production of Richie Saunders?
Well, it's not going to be just one person that can replace Richie Saunders. He's one, in my view, one of the all-time BYU greats and one of the truly great shooters that I think college basketball knows. So that 33-point, 10-rebound performance he put on, or I think it's 9 rebounds, put on against Kansas was spectacular. So you're not going to replace him with one person. But I think everybody can do more. And, you know, you guys know there's nothing in the rule book that says when you lose a great player, you can't still win. And they're capable of winning, as they showed against Colorado. So I think you're going to see a lot more A.J. DeBonta and a lot more Robert Wright carrying the scoring load. But other guys have to step forward and play more minutes. Nobody has to put a cape on and be Superman, but everybody has to do more.
Jay Billis of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. We were looking closely at the numbers from the first go-around and couldn't help but notice the quick start from Jaden Bradley and Braden Burries in that guard line for Arizona, creating a lot of offense off of BYU turnovers. So with that in mind, Jay, tonight, how can BYU turn the tables against Arizona, and what would that winning formula look like with BYU as a heavy underdog?
Well, first of all, it's got to be defensively. I mean, you really have to pack the paint against Arizona. Arizona is not a prolific three-point shooting team. It's not that they don't have guys that can make those shots, but they don't take a lot of them. They pound the ball inside. And so you really, I think, really have to pack the paint. And then rebounding is going to be a big deal. You have to rebound at a really high level against Arizona because they're an excellent offensive rebounding team. A lot of their shots are interior and mid-range, and that means there are going to be shorter rebounds. So when you don't take as many threes, there aren't as many long rebounds. So all five BYU defenders are going to have to go to defensive glass. You can't take off until you get the ball. And then I think it's really important to play good defense and force difficult shots without fouling, because Arizona, they make more free throws than their opponents attempt. So you gotta keep them off the foul line where they can get high percentage. You know, the free throw line's the most efficient place to score on a basketball floor. So if BYU can keep Arizona off the foul line, they've got a good shot.
Jay, BYU's defense has really struggled the last couple of weeks. They're playing good ball into January, but like the last 4 to 6 weeks defensively, BYU's really struggled. Because you look at the offense, you go, hey, I could see BYU putting up like they did 83 against Arizona the first time, but they gave up 86. What is BYU struggling with defensively that's giving them so many issues right now?
Well, number one, you have to guard the ball and stay out of rotation. If you can do a good job of guarding the ball and stay out of rotation and certainly out of scramble where you're not having to close out long distances, things like that, I think it's really helpful. I think that's the first thing is you got to guard the ball. But I think it will be, look, it's no easy task to play Arizona. I don't care who's wearing their uniform or if they got players out. they're huge. And so it's not just the first shot that's going to be an issue. It's the second shot opportunities that they get. And so rebounding is a big deal. But look, BYU has not performed at the level defensively I think they're capable of. But part of that has to do with the teams they're playing. I mean, the Big 12, especially the top, is the best league in the country. And so it's not at all surprising that their defensive numbers haven't been as good. I think they can be much better than they have been. But it's not a surprise that their numbers have jumped up.
Jay, we've already mentioned the notable injury to Richie Saunders, and what a gutting loss for BYU for so many reasons. Who do you feel like is the most capable player or players to step up and fill the void in Richie Saunders' absence?
You know, I mean, I don't mean to duck the question. I mean, obviously, Kennard Davis has to play better and do more, and he was spectacular in the second half of that first game against Arizona. I think he was 5 of 5 from three after having had some difficulties going into that game shooting the ball. But, you know, Kostic, Boskovic, all those guys have to do more. And I really do believe that. Like, there's nothing in the rule book that says you can't win with a player out. And they're capable of still winning. But they might have to do it in a different way. And it's going to – certainly guys like DeBonta and Wright are going to be more influential on the offense, offensive end. Like, they're going to have to take more on. And there'll be more isolation stuff. They're going to have to take more shots. That's probably a must for this team. And they're going to have to adjust. But, you know, look, Kevin Young's been through this before in the NBA where you have injuries. And you just have to do the best you can and put yourself in the best position to win. And those adjustments are not easy, but they're capable of making them. And now, is it going to mean they're going to beat the best teams all the time? No, but they've been at a deficit all year long. I mean, they lost Dawson Baker 5-6 games into the season. They'd be a totally different team if they had his shooting and floor spacing and all that. So you hate to see this. I mean, look, I hate to see it for BYU, period, because it limits maybe their ceiling as a team. I don't think it takes a genius to figure that out. But what was really heartbreaking is, you know, to have a player like Richie Saunders get injured and lost for the season. He's been such a credit to the game, not only a great player, but in my view, just a great ambassador. And, you know, I just hated, I was heartbroken when I learned, you know, you saw him go off and you were just hoping, please, not an ACL. And when you got the information that night, I think it was, or the next morning, that he was going to be out for the season, I mean, I was sick to my stomach. You hate to see anyone get injured, but especially when it's a player that's given so much, not only to BYU and the Big 12, but to the game. I mean, he's just a credit to the game.
Those are great words, and we appreciate it. We're devastated for Rich around here. We're hoping JT Toppin didn't have a similar injury last night when he walked off against Arizona State. That was not good either. You mentioned sort of the ceiling for BYU. Preseason, we're talking about, hey, this could be the team that maybe goes to the Final Four. Why not? Look at this talent. Look at this collection. Down goes Dawson, as you mentioned. Now down goes Richie. Do you feel like a Sweet 16 is still possible for BYU?
Yeah, of course it's possible. A lot of it's going to depend on where the Cougars are seated in the tournament and how they're viewed and how they do the rest of the year, because the committee is certainly going to look at the record overall and give credit to the games won with Saunders in the lineup. But they're also going to look to what BYU is without him, because that's what they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. And so every game's important. It's not just important to win these games, but it's important to show well and show that you can play. And so, I mean, winning in this league is hard no matter what. But, you know, if you go into a game and get blasted or something, it's not helpful to the cause and how you're going to be viewed in the committee room. And it may not be fair, it may not be right, but that's kind of the way it is, and it's an inexact science as to how you judge, you know, the wins that have already been racked up with Saunders in the lineup and then how BYU performs without him, because that's what they're going to be in the tournament. So the best you can do is just play each game and throw everything into it, because BYU is still capable. They are still capable. And I hate to say this again, but it's true. Nothing in the rule book says they can't win without him. I know DeBanta can do more. You know, he can put up 40 in any given game, and so can Robert Wright III. You know, he had 39 against Colorado. Well, he's had two straight 30-point games. So it's not like they're defenseless. But certainly I don't think any reasonable basketball person would say they're going to be as good without Richie Saunders. That'd be silly.
You can follow him at Jay Billis on X. He is an ESPN college basketball insider and expert. Jay, let's finish with this. You bring up AJ DeBanta. You watched him closely in a magical night for BYU with Rob Wright III hitting that game winner at Madison Square Garden. Where do you feel like you've seen AJ grow the most as a basketball player in his first and only year of college basketball?
Well, I think his maturity is evident. He processes the game very effectively, and he gets to whatever spot that he wants. I think it's been a journey that's been really interesting to watch of how he blends in with other players, because he can take over games and has taken over games. But I think he's rebounded at a higher level since we saw him in New York at Madison Square Garden, that Clemson game. And he's playing more of a complete game now, which he's been capable of from the beginning. But, you know, as talented as he is, he's still a freshman. And he's going to continue to improve. And this is another sort of added thing that he's going to have to process. But I think he's going to do it really well. And, you know, in a scenario where he has to do it. Like, sometimes players need to be needed. And there with Richie Saunders out, there's always a dynamic that can happen with teams where they say, hey, look, you know, everybody knows you don't have to look over your shoulder. There's nobody coming in for you. Like, go play and go take risks and go be the man when you have to be. There's a freedom that comes with that. And sometimes teams react really positively to that. And, you know, Kennard Davis, when he's got an open shot, he doesn't have to worry about coming out. Like, who's coming in for him? And sometimes players perform even better with that dynamic. So we'll see what happens. But I'm not giving up on BYU. With all that heartbreak, I don't think they're feeling sorry for themselves. I think they'll come out and fight, and we'll see the best out of them.
I'm fired up, Jay. We feel that love you have for Richie and for BYU. We appreciate the time and your busy schedule. Have a great call tonight in Arizona. And by the way, Jimmer Fredette sends his thanks to you for the shout-out you gave him for his retirement on his jersey retirement celebration.
What an icon. And I hope the current players know who he is and was for BYU, because one of the great college players I've ever seen play.
Jay, thanks for the time again.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, guys.
Jay Billis, good stuff. BYU Basketball with Kevin Young back tomorrow night in Studio C as the head coach. And Rob Wright III, ever heard of him? Joined Greg Rubel to recap tonight's Arizona game. Preview Saturday's game against number 6 Iowa State. What a week. Tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Still on the way. A major upset in Big 12 men's basketball last night. And how did BYU women's hoops hold up in their own big game at home? We'll tell you next on BYU Sports Nation.
The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to today's headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Number 23 BYU men's basketball is in Tucson, discovered by the French, Arizona. Taking on number 4 Arizona tonight. Cougars without Richie Saunders, of course. ACL out for the year. Bummer. Wildcats out without Cole Pete. Injured Dwayne Aristode.
Oh, yeah.
Sick. BYU, 11.5-point dog. KenPom gives a 14% chance to win. That's not taking into account that Richie Saunders not there. Pre-game coverage, 8 Eastern, BYU Radio.
On the Big 12 men's basketball scoreboard, how about this? Arizona State upsets number 13 Texas Tech 72-67 in Tempe. Of note, JT Toppin left the game with about 6 minutes left for Texas Tech with an apparent leg injury and did not return. Still waiting to hear what that injury is. Kansas State, in the first game after they fired their head coach Jerome Tang, beat Baylor by 16, 90-74. Nate Johnson at 33 for the Wildcats. And UCF beats TCU in Orlando. They're really good on their home floor, 82-71, 23 points from Jordan Burks. Tonight's games include number 8 Kansas in Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State, Utah in Morgantown for a showdown with West Virginia. Other Big 12 news in the conference, they announced that DJ Khaled will perform at the Big 12 tournament after party.
Okay, if we are there, because we might be, are we going to that?
To hear another one.
I've already heard it. Gatorade.
Another
what?
One.
What? BYU football released its spring roster yesterday ahead of spring practices, which are scheduled to begin at the end of February. There are 48 redshirt or true freshmen on the roster right now, by the way.
So just a few.
A plethora.
BYU women's basketball. Oy. Lose a tough home game against Cincinnati. Quad 4 home loss, 76-67. BYU drops to 6-9 in Big 12 play, 17-10 on the season. Cougars had a 3-point lead with 4 minutes to go, but the Bearcats end the game on a 14-2 run. Delaney gave up 20 points, her sixth 20-point performance this season. BYU will try and get back on track where they have struggled on the road, this time in Salt Lake City in the rivalry game against the Utes.
Women's volleyball middle blocker Brielle Kemavor, they call her BK, will take part in the USA Volleyball's Women's National Team Collegiate Training this week in Colorado. Kemavor, an ABCA Honorable Mention All-American First Team All-Big selection a year ago.
And BYU Gymnastics has announced a schedule change as of yesterday. The meet in Provo against Iowa State, scheduled for March 6th, has been canceled because the Cyclones were forced to cancel the remainder of their season earlier this month with not enough healthy and available athletes to perform.
That's crazy. I thought you were going to say due to a lack of hustle.
Oh, not that. So sad. I feel so bad for Iowa State. BYU will now compete in a tri-meet against Utah and West Virginia in Salt Lake City on Saturday, March 7th. That's a tough draw because you go from a home meet to now having to compete in a tri-meet on the road that includes Utah. After the break, BYU basketball head coach Kevin Young had plenty to say at yesterday's media availability session. The vibes were good. Like, the optimism was off the charts. If you didn't hear it, stay with us. We'll go there next on BYU Sports Nation.
Another one.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B, and now we turn our attention to men's basketball head coach Kevin Young and his weekly media press conference, where it felt like the vibes were really good. Like, his optimism, his charisma, he's a solution-oriented guy. He went there in this after a very challenging weekend that included having to deal with life after Richie Saunders not being available in his lineup. So yesterday, he started his opening remarks on how he will remember Richie Saunders' career at BYU.
He, in a lot of ways, has been the flag bearer of just the Kevin Young era, so to speak. You know, just from day one, you know, when he committed to coming back here and then everything that he did last year and this year. You know, in a lot of ways, just a poster child of everything that we were trying to do here. And so for that, I'll forever be grateful for Richie. I think he's everything that's great about a college basketball player. The amount of people, including opposing coaches within our league, that reached out to me, you know, about Richie in the last couple of days, I think says a lot about him. And then lastly, just his commitment to BYU, you know, his commitment to the community, to the university, the mission of the university. You know, he's a BYU legend and will forever and always will be.
I mean, right, what can we say about Richie Saunders that hasn't already been offered up?
No, that was well done. And Rich has been an important piece of, the Kevin Young era, as he mentioned. Absolutely. And he went on to say later that Richie, he said, one small piece of good news is now he could probably pick his own team, meaning he's probably going to be a free agent.
Yes.
As opposed to second round, where sometimes an agent will tell teams, don't draft us, because they want to go elsewhere. So perhaps Richie gets to, you know, be a free agent and pick his own team, because unfortunately now he's not likely to be drafted.
You think Kevin Young can give some proper insight as to which team would fit Richie's skill set?
And the context and all the agents and the GMs, absolutely.
100%.
Come here, get to the NBA, let's go.
All right. Kevin Young was also asked a few different versions of questions centered on how he expects to replace Richie's production and his confidence in those other guys to potentially step up. This is what he had to say.
Everyone's going to have more opportunity. You know, I think you saw it in the Colorado game. That was an extremely difficult game, just from an emotional standpoint. One of the hardest games, if not the hardest game I've ever had to coach in, if I'm being honest with you. But I think you saw where other, you know, multiple guys have had to step up. Tyler comes in right out of the gate, bangs two threes. You know, Kostic bangs the big one. Mihai hits one. I think Moo Kennard's playing a little bit more within himself, and I'm going to try to unlock him more. I think I've probably done him a disservice by trying to make him, you know, a strictly a catch and shoot guy when he has a lot more to offer that I think we're going to see a lot more of now. And then we've got to explore other lineup combinations that we haven't looked at, and that's some things that we've looked at in practice. So, you know, everything's on the table.
That's interesting because Richie Saunders is such a slasher. Like he got so much of his production going to the hoop and bending around screens off the curl, like just constant, nonstop. I am inclined to believe that Moo Davis is going to try and do some of that because he said, I've just put him in as a catch and shoot guy. Now they have to go probably with Moo being able to do more and become at least in part that slasher to the hoop.
Yeah, to the rim, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that he's the come off screen guy, but I would think that's Kostic or Morris. But yeah. Unlock him. He averaged 16 a game at Southern Illinois last year. You don't accidentally get 16 a game. So come on.
Maybe this is exactly what Kennard Davis needs.
If I had to point to anyone that I think is going to fill up, you know, those points in some way, I'm not saying he's getting 18, but yeah, Kennard. And finally, Kevin Young addressed the notion that BYU's been written off and what he says about the team's motivation at this point.
Where I draw the most excitement is I don't know, man. I think I do better in situations like this, back against the wall type of mentality. I've kind of operated that way my whole life. And, you know, I'm as energized as I've ever been as a coach. And I'm really taking this challenge head on. And I know a lot of people are writing us off, and I'm kind of, you know, relishing in that. And so are our guys. And when you got a group of guys like we do who are good young men, I think that they're going to rely on each other and band together. And I'm excited to see what this iteration of it looks like. I say it to my guys all the time. I wake up motivated. And so I don't need extra motivation. I'm sure they don't either. We're hungry. They're hungry. It's going to be a good ball game.
What's beautiful about this, in spite of losing an all-timer in Richie Saunders, BYU has arguably the best player in the conference, probably the best player in the conference. I know some think Darren Peterson's still that guy. But you have...
You said conference. I heard country. Okay. But that's what I think. Well, I think AJ's the best player in the country.
Okay. He's one of the top two or three players in the country, according to every expert.
Okay? By the way, he's number one in like net rating against quad one teams.
You still have that guy available night in and night out.
That's what I'm saying.
And you have Rob Wright III, who's playing the best basketball of his career. Right now, he's playing like a top 10 player in the best conference in America.
This is Tatooine. We got two suns, dog. It's pretty bright. Let's go.
Of the top 10 players in the hardest, most difficult basketball conference in the country.
But the question isn't necessarily, are those guys good enough? It's how much do they have to produce? And then rest of the crew, mount up. Renegades.
Unlock. Kennard Davis. Has he been fully unleashed now by necessity?
Let's go, baby.
What kind of chance are you giving BYU to pull the upset in Tucson tonight? More responses to our question of the day next on BYU Sports Nation.
It's brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Check you. Took.
Oh, the images from BYU's win in Tucson a year ago.
Summon
Richie
the energy.
Saunders, the hero.
Summon the energy. Come on.
Our question of the day, on a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of chance are you giving BYU to do it again, to shock number 4 Arizona tonight? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Careers, built for victory, comes in from at T. Gibby 2024. First of all, they say a 7.
Whoa.
The bench now has a clear path and have been waiting for their moment. They now have the green light and will feel confident and relaxed.
I like the idea, but they could have played this whole season. Come on.
Well, it's a little different. I mean, I get what he's saying. Like
now you're going to show up?
The opportunity. Like, Richie can't take the shots. Who's going to do it? Today's Rise and Shine.
Kennard Davis!
Presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Why am I young? AJ DeBont says on the digital cover of Sports Illustrated. Do they still print them? Do we need to go buy this? That's cool.
On the prowl? Come on! I love that. Our thanks to today's guest, Jay Billis.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to the sharpshooter, Trevin Nell. Channeling Trevin, shot-making ability. Go Cougs!